Chapter 14. By and by, when we got up, we turned over the truck the gang had stole off of the wreck and found boots and blankets and clothes and all sorts of other things, and a lot of books and a spyglass and 3 boxes of cigars. We had never been this rich before in neither of our lives. The cigars was prime. We laid off all the afternoon in the woods talking, and me reading the books and having a general good time. I told Jim all about what happened inside the wreck and at the ferry boat, and I said these kinds of things was adventures, but he said he didn't want no more adventures. He said that when I went into Texas and he crawled back to get on the raft and found her gone and he nearly died because he judged it was all up with him any way it could be fixed, for if he didn't get saved, he would get drowned, and if he did get saved, whoever saved him would send him back home so as to get the reward, and then Miss Watson would sell him south sure. Well, he was right. He was most always right. He had an uncommon level head for a nigger. I read considerable to Jim about kings and dukes and earls and such, and how gaudy they dressed, and how much style they put on, and called each other your majesty and your grace and your lordship and so on, instead of mister, and Jim's eyes bugged out, and he was interested. He says, "I didn't know there was so many of them. I ain't heard about none of them, scarcely, but old King Solomon, unless you count them kings that's on a pack of cards. How much do a king get?" "Get," I says, "why, they get $1,000 a month if they want it. They can have just as much as they want. Everything belongs to them." "Ain't that gay? What do they got to do, Huck?" "They don't do nothing. Why, how you talk? They just sit around." "No, is that so?" "Of course it is. They just sit around, except maybe when there's a war. Then they go to war. But other times, they just lazy around, or go hawking. Just hawking and shh. Did you hear a noise?" We skipped out and looked, but it weren't nothing but the flutter of a steamboat's wheel away down, coming around the point. So we come back. "Yes," says I, "and other times, when things is dull, they fuss with the parliament, and if everybody don't go just so, he whacks their heads off, but mostly they hang around the harem." "Round a which?" "Harem." "What's the harem?" "The place where he keeps his wives. Don't you know about the harem? Solomon had one. He had about 1,000,000 wives." "Why, yes, that's so. I done forgot it. A harem's a boarding house, I reckon. Most likely they has rackety times in the nursery. And I reckon the wives quarrels considerable, and that creased the racket. Yet they say Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. I don't take no stock in that, because why? Would a wise man want to live in the midst of such a blim-blammin' all the time? No, deed he wouldn't. A wise man would take and build a biler factory, and then he could shut down the biler factory when he want to rest." "Well, but he was the wisest man anyway, because the widow, she told me so, her own self. I don't care what the widow say. He weren't no wise man nuther. He had some of the dad fatchedest ways I ever see. Did you know about that child that he was gwine to chop into?" "Yes, the widow told me all about it." "Well, then, weren't that the beatenest notion in the world? You just take and look at it a minute. There's a stump there. That's one of the women. Here's you. That's the other one. And I's Solomon. And this here dollar bill's the child. Both of you claims it. What does I do? Does I shin around amongst the neighbors and find out which one of you the bill do belong to, and hand it over the right one, all safe and sound, the way that anybody that had any gumption would? No. I take and whack the bill in two, and give half of it to you, and the other half to the other woman. That's the way Solomon was gwine to do it, with the child. Now I want to ask you, what's the use of the half of the bill? Can't buy nothing with it. And what use is half a child? I wouldn't give a darn for 1,000,000 of them." "But hang it, Jim, you've clean missed the point. Blame it, you've missed it 1,000 mile. "Who, me? Go along, don't talk to me about your pints. I reckon I know sense when I sees it, and there ain't no sense in such a doing as that. Dispute weren't about a half a child. Dispute was about a whole child. And the man that think he can settle a dispute about a whole child with a half a child don't know enough to come out in the rain. Don't talk to me about Solomon, Huck. I know him by the back." "But I tell you, you don't get the point." "Blame the point. I reckon I knows what I knows. And mind you, the real pine is down further. It's down deeper. It lays in the way Solomon was raised. You take a man that's got only 1 or 2 chillen. Is that man going to be wasteful of chillin'? No, he ain't. He can't afford it. He knows how to value 'em. But you take a man that's got about 5,000,000 chillin' run around the house, and it's different. He as soon chop a child in two as a cat. There's plenty more. A child or two, more or less, were no consequence to Solomon, Dad fetch him. I never see such a nigger. If he got a notion in his head once, there weren't no getting it out again. He was the most down on Solomon of any nigger I ever see. So I went to talking about other kings and let Solomon slide. I told about Louis XVI that got his head cut off in France long time ago, and about his little boy, the dolphin, that would have been king, but they took and shut him up in jail, and some say he died there. Poor little chap. But some say he got out and got away, and come to America. Well, that's good, but it'll be pretty lonesome. There ain't no kings here, is there, Huck?
No.
Then he can't get no situation. What he gwine to do?
Well, I don't know.
Some of them gets on the police, and some of them learns people how to talk French. Why, Huck, don't the French people talk the same way we does?
No, Jim. You couldn't understand a word they said, not a single word.
Well, now, I'd be ding-busted. How did that come?
I don't know, but it's so. I got some of their jabber out of a book.
Suppose a man was to come to you and say, "Parlez-vous Franzi," what would you think?
I wouldn't think nothing. I'd take and bust him over the head. That is, if he weren't white.
I wouldn't allow no nigger to call me that.
Shucks, it ain't calling you anything. It's only saying, do you know how to talk French?
Well, then, why couldn't he say it?
Why, he is a saying it. That's a Frenchman's way of saying it.
Well, it's a blame ridiculous way, and I don't want to hear no more about it. There ain't no sense in it.
Looky here, Jim. Does a cat talk like we do?
No, a cat don't.
Well, does a cow?
No, a cow don't nuther.
Does a cat talk like a cow or a cow talk like a cat?
No, they don't.
It's natural and right for them to talk different from each other, ain't it?
Of course.
And ain't it natural and right for a cat and a cow to talk different from us?
Why, most surely 'tis.
Well, then, why ain't it natural and right for a Frenchman to talk different from us? You answer me that.
Is a cat a man, Huck?
No.
Well, then, there ain't no sense in a cat talking like a man.
Is a cow a man, or is a cow a cat?
No, she ain't either of them.
Well, then, she ain't got no business to talk like either one or the other of them.
Is a Frenchman a man?
Yes.
Well, then, dad blame it, why don't he talk like a man? You answer me that.
I see it weren't no use wasting words. You can't learn a nigger to argue, so I quit.